What's going on, everybody? It's Ron Brown, LMT, the People's Fitness Professional, alongside my co-host,
Mikey Fever.
And this is A New Yorker's Perspective. Today, we have the brother, Sharif Anil Bey, on as usual.
Yes, sir.
And we have brother Eric Muhammad from the Nation of Islam. This is, for me personally, this is classic right here, right?
Classic, for real.
This is a classic because we have a brother from the Nation of Islam and Moorish Science Temple of America.
Meeting of the minds.
Yes,
high
sir.
Science right here.
This yes, is important. Sir. Yes, sir. So real quick, brother Eric Muhammad, if you can give us a brief history about yourself and, you know, just to give the people some insight to who you are and things of that nature. That'll be peace.
I'm Minister Eric Muhammad, Minister and Representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad for the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Not to be confused with the movement known as the Nation of Islam, headed by Minister Louis Farrakhan. I'm not a follower of Minister Farrakhan. I am a follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I do not represent Minister Farrakhan. I represent the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I was born in Newark, New Jersey, about 5 or 6 blocks away from the MSTA. I believe it was on, I knew the address at one point, but I was right around the corner. If you just walk, if you come out of the temple, turn left, and go to 11th Avenue, turn left, and come up to South 8th Street, turn right, halfway up the block, that's where I live.
Wow.
Yes, sir. So I was born in Newark, 1962, raised in Newark, lived in Newark until I was 14 years old, then moved to Plainfield, New Jersey, where I accepted Islam in 1983. When I accepted Islam, I did accept Islam under the tutelage of Minister Louis Farrakhan. I joined Muhammad's Mosque number 80, Plainfield, New Jersey, 1983 in May. I remained a follower of Minister Farrakhan until 1996, when I began a relationship with Minister Khalid Abdul Muhammad. Mm-hmm. At the time, Minister Khalid was persona non grata in that particular movement. Mm-hmm. And because I refused to disassociate myself with him, in May of 1996, I was exiled from Minister Farrakhan's movement. I was relieved of my ministry. I had become a minister by then. I had been a minister since 1991. And in 1996, I was relieved of my ministry and exiled from that movement. From 1996 until 2000, I remained a practicing Muslim, but I was not a member of any Nation of Islam movement. You know, there are several. Everybody thinks they're the leader of the Nation of Islam. And because everybody thinks they're the leader of the Nation of Islam, people keep representing me as another leader of the Nation of Islam. I do not have my own movement. I am not the leader of any movement. I am the minister of a temple. In the year 2000, I met a brother by the name of Minister Kevin Ali, who was a minister in a movement, Nation of Islam, but the original one, the one that follows the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I was trained in the ministry of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I have been ministering on his behalf since August of 2000. And the rest is history.
Praise Allah.
Okay.
Praise Allah. That's a journey.
Now, I want to ask, you said there are several Nation of Islam groups.
Yes, sir.
What are the seven? And
I didn't say seven. I said several.
Several. Okay. Right. So what are the different groups and what makes them different from each other?
What makes them different from each other would be the respective leaders of the particular movements themselves. Every different faction of the Nation of Islam that has a different leader, because of the difference in the leadership, then you have various nuances with respect to the doctrine and practice. If you ever heard one of Minister Khalid's old lectures, you would hear him talk about the different nations of Islam. He would say things like, you got the Nation of Islam, Minister Louis Farrakhan. You got the Nation of Islam, Silas Muhammad. You got the Nation of Islam, Marvin Muhammad. You got the Nation of Islam, Royal Solomon. And he would name a few of them, and then he would speak of how we need to not be divided and be one nation, because that's what we actually are supposed to be. One nation with one God and one destiny, like Marcus Garvey said.
Yes, sir.
Right. Can you provide an overview of the history and founding principles of the Nation of Islam?
The Nation of Islam has as its main mission. We asked the question in the student enrollment, what is the birth record of the said Nation of Islam? And then we answer it by saying the said Nation of Islam has no birth record. It has no beginning nor ending. Well, if you look us up, Google is going to tell you that we were founded in 1930, and that's why the question is not what is the birth record of the Nation of Islam, but what is the birth record of the said Nation of Islam. This is to make us to realize that what we know of as the Nation of Islam is not something that began in 1930. But something that actually has no beginning, has no ending. Mm-hmm. We are referred to as lost, found members of the original nation, which is the Nation of Islam. Lost, found members, meaning this nation that has no beginning, as well as no ending, is something that we, the black man in the hills of North America, were lost from for a period of time. We now know that that period of time is nearly 500 years. But we're called lost, found. This means that we were once lost, but we are now found. Well, when were we found? We were found, quote unquote, in 1930. Now, I put that in quotes because it's not like we were discovered in that year, but we use that year because that's the year that the finder of us and the life giver to us made his presence known among us. It was on the 4th of July in the year 1930. And so this is why when you look us up, it says we started out in 1930. No, we were found, quote unquote, in 1930 by our finder and life giver, Master Wallace Farad Muhammad. And he began the mission of rejoining us to that Nation of Islam that has no beginning, qualifying us to rejoin on to that, which is our own kind.
Okay. All right. So the founding principles of the Nation of Islam.
The founding principles of the Nation of Islam are the same for all Muslims. There are five foundational principles of Islam, and that is belief in Allah and his messenger or apostle, belief in divine revelation and the hereafter, belief in paying the poor rate and charity, belief in praying at least 5 times per day, and belief in fasting, especially during the holy month of Ramadan. Those are the 5 broad founding principles. They're called the pillars of Islam. And those are shared by all Muslims.
Now, was this implemented by Master Farad, or is this just, are you just referring to Islam in general?
No. Like we say in the student enrollment, the Nation of Islam has no birth record, no beginning, nor ending. Those 5 principles are the 5 principles of all Muslims. They've been the 5 principles of Islam before the quote unquote Nation of Islam's founding.
Okay. All right. So the second question I have for you is, how has the Nation of Islam evolved over time, particularly in its leadership and ideology?
Well, in 1930, that's when Master Farad Muhammad began to teach us, and he remained among us until sometime in 1934. After he departed, shortly before he departed, actually, he wanted Elijah Muhammad to be the leader and successor to himself after.
All right. I have to edit this part. his Wi-Fi is completely done.
Yeah, his Wi-Fi is over.
He said it's over.
Yeah, his Wi-Fi is... Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
And just made us Muslims who looked toward the spirituality of Islam, but were no longer looking to the nationhood of Islam. And that destroyed the movement. Yes, sir.
Peace. So your Wi-Fi just kind of died on us. Like, it just froze.
I can see you clearly. You can't see me?
Well, for like maybe a minute, it was off. It was off.
Okay.
All right. So let's just go back.
Is
over
it back?
Yep, it's back. We were talking about how has the Nation of Islam evolved over time, particularly its leadership and ideology?
Starting again from the beginning, we began with Master Farad Muhammad in 1930. From 1930 to 1934, he was Prophet Farad. He came fulfilling what the scriptures predicted of him. He made no reputation of himself. So he hid under the title of prophet. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad recognized him as God Almighty in person the moment that he saw him. But Master Farad Muhammad told him to keep that quote unquote on the down low until the right time. He said, don't teach that while I'm here. Wait until I'm gone and then you can teach that. And so from 1934, upon the assumption of leadership of Messenger Elijah Muhammad, he revealed the true identity of Master Farad Muhammad as God Almighty in person. And the Nation of Islam grew after a period of trial. The Nation of Islam grew to be the most powerful Black movement that we ever had here in the hills of North America. But a funny thing happened on the way to freedom and liberation. And that funny thing was the messenger's son, Wallace Dean Muhammad. He took over the Nation of Islam and he destroyed it. That movement that was once large is now pathetically small. That movement that was once the most powerful is now pathetically weak. Because Wallace Dean Muhammad took over, and with the able help of Abdul Halim Farrakhan, the man that you know now as Minister Louis Farrakhan, the two of them worked to destroy the Nation of Islam, to reduce it from the large, powerful movement that it was in 1975 to the small and weak movement that it is in 2024. And so now we, the followers of Messenger Elijah Muhammad, are in the process of reestablishing the real Nation of Islam, which is not a different movement. It's the original movement. That's why we call it the real Nation of Islam, because it is that movement that was established by Master Farad Muhammad and then led by Messenger Elijah Muhammad. So we're in the process of reestablishing that at this point. And it's a tough road, brother. It's a tough road because there were a lot of people who were jealous of the Nation of Islam's primacy. And now that the Nation of Islam is small and in a weak position, those who would like to hold that vanguard position of Black liberation are now trying to take advantage and jump out in front, keep the Nation of Islam from being recognized as the premier movement like it was in the past. So you have every Black movement now that you can think of trying to jump up and say, no, it's not about the Muslims no more. It's about us now.
So what are some of the key beliefs and teachings of the Nation of Islam, especially regarding race, spirituality, and social justice?
That is an excellent question. Whenever you purchase a Final Call newspaper, a Muhammad Speaks newspaper, or the newspaper that we publish, which is the Salam newspaper, with the exception of the Final Call, you will find on the back page of the newspaper what the Muslims want, what the Muslims believe. With respect to the Final Call, you will have to open the back page and you will also see it there. What we want, what we believe. Those are our basic beliefs and demands on the government of America. Now, what we believe is that Almighty God, Allah Himself. Now, we may call God by many different names, but whatever name we recognize God by, we believe that He is not a spirit, never has been, never will be. We believe God is a man, always has been, always will be. Now, of course, there is no individual man who can live for thousands upon thousands of years. But we know and we understand that the godhood is very, very similar to the presidency of the United States of America, or to the kingships of kingdoms and empires. One man holds that position for a period of time, and when he no longer has that position, another man assumes that position. And so this has been going on for thousands upon thousands upon untold thousands of years. The current man who holds that position is Wallace Farad Muhammad. So we believe Allah, God, appeared to us, the Black man in the hills of North America, in the person of Master Farad Muhammad in 1930. We believe that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, whom he chose to represent him, is the last messenger of Allah and the greatest of all the messengers of Allah. So great indeed that he is the very right hand of God and the second self of God. This we believe. We also believe that we are the chosen people of God, not the white so-called Jew of Israel. It is we who are the chosen people of God. We're the people of God's choice. He has chosen us to be the vanguard of a new civilization that will rule this earth after the white man's present wicked civilization is removed from this earth. And we also believe that the time has arrived for the separation of the black man in America from the white man of America, especially since it's time for the white man of America, pardon my slang, to get that work.
Please, I have a question for you, right?
Yes, sir.
How does the Nation of Islam differ from mainstream Islam in terms of ideology, practices, and organizational structure?
Another excellent question. The Orthodox world of Islam is what we refer to as Old World Islam. And the old world of Islam was ruled by white Muslims. We did pretty good in the old world of Islam, ruled by white Muslims sometimes, and we did not so good at other times. It's an up and down. This Islam that is taught by the Nation of Islam is a new Islam. It's not the Islam that most of us are familiar with. We are constantly attacked as the Nation of Islam for all of the evils that has been done to us for the past 1400 years. Well, that's not the Islam we teach. So why are we to be blamed for that? We're constantly attacked for what Arabs have done to Africans. Well, this is not Arab Islam that we are teaching. This is not Arab Islam that we are practicing. So I don't particularly care, except to get a little get back. I don't particularly care to hear all of that stuff that Arabs have done to Africans. We're going to take care of that. That's, we got that. But
I understand you, brother. And again, I have a question. It could be a bit controversial.
Yes,
whatsoever,
sir.
You know, beginning with the beginning of Nation of Islam under Elijah Muhammad, I heard that they were funded by an oil tycoon in Texas.
And what oil tycoon in Texas would that be?
Was it LBJ Hunt, something like that?
Never heard of that before, but I mean, considering that one individual calling himself a Moor thinks that Master Farad Muhammad was married to some woman named Hazel and had I forget the name of the brother or sister, whatever he's supposed to have. I mean, it's a lot of craziness being said about the Nation of Islam in this modern day and time. But the Nation of Islam was only financed by the free will donations of black people here in the hills of North America. There was one point in which Muammar Gaddafi lent us several million dollars to buy Temple Number 2. But other than that, the Nation of Islam subsisted on the free will donations of black people here in the hills of North America, as well as the business structure that we set up that generated millions of dollars.
Yeah, I heard of fish markets and other things. They had laundromats.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's peace. All right, thanks.
So you explained the theology. What about the practices and the organizational structure? I mean, how different is it from mainstream Islam?
Well, I know what you mean when you say mainstream Islam, but we are mainstream Islam. The other Islam is the side. We're the burger. We're not the fries. And this is what, you know, this is the paradigm shift that we are working on right now. Right now, everybody thinks they're the burger. We're the fries. That's not the way it is. Like I said, we were lost for a number of years, and we've been under the rule of the white race for 6,000 years. So for the past 6,000 years, the script got flipped and others have been the burger. We have been the fries. Now it's time for us to flip that script black the way it belongs. We now are assuming the position of burger and making them the fries. The difference is we are now teaching no longer the wisdom of prophets. We are now teaching the wisdom of gods. That's the main difference. The prophets came with moonlight, but Master Farad Muhammad came and gave to us through the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that bright sunlight that the prophets only dreamed and wished that they could live long enough to see.
Gotcha. So as far as like the practices, praying five times a day, it's implemented.
Yes, we do.
Ramadan.
We do pray five times per day. Now, let's be very, very clear. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad prescribed for his followers to fast in December as in the month of Ramadan. In other words, the way Orthodox Muslims fast in Ramadan. We have a very, very similar, but not the same, a very, very similar fast that we adopt instead, not in addition to, but instead of the month of Ramadan. That's December. We fast from the 1st to the through the 31st of December. And what is different is we don't eat meat during the month of December, no land animals. And we only eat once per day. The Orthodox Islamic world, you eat all night. We have one meal, just like we eat when we're not fasting for a month. We have one meal. It's just that we have that one meal after dark instead of between 4 and 6, if possible.
Gotcha. Okay. Anyone else want to ask questions?
You guys are doing an outstanding job asking questions.
Nah, I'm enjoying this, man. I'm listening, asking questions and listening. I'm enjoying this, man.
One of the things our good brother said about the whole quote unquote orthodoxy, I liked a lot. You know, a lot of times we, you know, there's the essence of a thing and then there's the practice or the expression of a thing. You know, and a lot of times what it's the old Zen Buddhist story that Bruce Lee quotes in Enter the Dragon. The teacher's pointing at the moon and he's ticked off at the students because they're looking at his finger instead of the moon, right? So people take the practice as the thing or the expression of the thing as the thing. So because we don't practice like Saudi Arabians, they say we're not practicing Islam. And because that... They have petrodollars behind what they're doing, they're considered mainstream.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we don't. So I like how he answered that one. Right, right. What we have on these shores is the orthodoxy. Prophet Muhammad in the Hadith, you know, expressed that the third generation won't even be of him. Exactly. They lost that. They're not known for what Prophet Muhammad gave them. They're known for the natural resources under the sand. So I like that answer. Yes, sir.
Ow. That was real. I got the question right here. Can you discuss the role of the prominent leaders within the Nation of Islam, such as Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm X, Louis Farrakhan, and their impact on the movement?
The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is, and for a good while shall remain the leader of the Nation of Islam. There will come a point when the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is relieved of that position by Master Farad Muhammad himself, due to the fact that Master Farad Muhammad will outlive him by several hundred years. Now, As far as the others that you mentioned, the Nation of Islam had a structure under the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad that involved a radio broadcast. You know, Muhammad Speaks is the number one program of the Nation of Islam. Many of us who are Muslims think that only refers to a newspaper. No, that refers to Muhammad Speaks. There was a Muhammad Speaks radio broadcast that was also the number one program of the Nation of Islam. And if you were the minister of a temple in a particular city and you couldn't keep that radio broadcast on the air, meaning you didn't produce the finances necessary to keep that radio broadcast on the air, you were very likely to lose your position because that radio broadcast was that means by which Mr. Muhammad could communicate directly with the people unfiltered. We also had in the center page of the newspaper, Mr. Muhammad Speaks. Now, I'm saying all of that to lead to this. That radio broadcast was national. It played all over the country. Various radio stations, various days, various times, but it was a national radio broadcast. Whenever the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was unable to do the national radio broadcast, one of his ministers would do it. Now, the most prominent one that we knew of was Minister Malcolm X. And because Minister Malcolm X distinguished himself in terms of his hard work and his oratorical brilliance, Malcolm X was chosen by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad to replace him or substitute for him, I would say, on the national radio broadcast.
Right.
Now, if you are the minister of, let's just say, Newark, New Jersey, then your platform is Muhammad's Temple number 25, Newark, New Jersey. It's a local platform. But if you are the minister of Muhammad's Temple number 7 in New York City, and you do the national radio broadcast, now your platform becomes national. As a minister. Therefore, since you are a representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you are not just local representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You are the national representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad because your ministry has, in addition to your local temple, the national platform of the radio broadcast. I'm going into this for a reason. Many people think national representative means top minister. Right. You somehow have rank as a minister over all the other ministers. Like you the boss minister over all the other ministers. No, no minister in the Nation of Islam has any authority over any other minister. You simply have a wider platform or a larger platform, but you hold the same rank as any other minister. See, this confusion has led to people following ministers. We're not supposed to follow any minister. We are supposed to follow the messenger. But if we think a minister who is the national representative is somehow some special minister, then we'll end up following him because we don't understand the reality of his title. Now, Malcolm held that position. He taught on the national radio broadcast. We all know that Malcolm later defected from the Nation of Islam. And when he defected from the Nation of Islam, his chief protege was Minister Louis Farrakhan. Minister Louis Farrakhan happened to be that particular minister who got and remained the closest to Malcolm. Very, very close. In fact, Malcolm, Farrakhan, and Wallace Dean Muhammad were very, very close. That trio, they were very, very close. And when Malcolm defected, Minister Louis Farrakhan was chosen to be the next national representative, which only meant his platform, instead of being only local, was national. He taught in place of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the national radio broadcast. Now, of course, if you are the rank and file believer in the Nation of Islam, and even if you are one of the other ministers of the Nation of Islam, that privilege to do the messenger's radio broadcast, of course, now that's a prop. That's a very big prop. You don't actually have any rank over anybody, but that prop is so big that it can be parlayed into a rank in terms of perception and function. But it really is not a rank at all. So Minister Farrakhan remained the national representative of the messenger until his son took over. Once his son took over the leadership, meaning he had the bag, follow the money. Wallace took over the bag. And unfortunately, whoever has the bag will tend to have the people. And so Minister Farrakhan, because Wallace had the bag, he didn't remain with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad because that bag was more important to him than his leader, teacher, and guide. So he followed Wallace D. Muhammad, and he became the national as well as international representative of Wallace Dean Muhammad. He was that golden-tongued preacher who could articulate the changes of Wallace D. Muhammad in such way that followers of Messenger Muhammad who were reluctant to go along with those changes because of Minister Louis Farrakhan's powerful oratory, they would be more inclined to accept those changes because Minister Farrakhan could preach you right out of your socks while your shoes are still on. So the Muslims followed Wallace D. Muhammad to hell. And Wallace D. Muhammad dogged Farrakhan tremendously because he felt that Farrakhan was a traitor. When he and Malcolm left the messenger, because the three of them were so close, Farrakhan was expected by both Malcolm and Wallace to make the move with them. But he didn't. Wallace never forgot that. So when Wallace got control of the bag, he was anxious to show Minister Farrakhan, you know, displeasure. So he took him out of New York, put him in a small temple on the west side of Chicago. Minister Farrakhan was no longer caped. Minister Farrakhan was no longer iced. Minister Farrakhan could no longer floss. And so he went back to that, not all the way, but went back to that, that had him caked, had him iced. He remembered who he was with when he was flossing. So he went back to the teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And like the Orthodox Muslim said, he did it for the money. I know that would seem to a follower of Minister Farrakhan a lie and slander, and that's okay. I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. But he did it for the money, just like Wallace Dean Muhammad said, because as long as he had the bag with Wallace, he stayed with Wallace. It was when Wallace cut the bag. That's when he started talking that Elijah talk again. There were already other Muslims still following the messenger. So he made that move, and the rest is history. I hope I did some justice to your question.
Yes, sir.
Well, you did. A lot. A lot.
That was thorough. Ooh. That was thorough. So that we're going to go on to the next one.
Yeah. You want me to go?
What are some of the common misconceptions and stereotypes about the Nation of Islam? And how do they compare to the reality of the organization?
I like that one. Let's start with the absolute most common misconception. And that is that Elijah Muhammad, because he was jealous of Malcolm X, ran Malcolm X out of the Nation of Islam and later orchestrated his assassination. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not jealous of Malcolm X. Why would the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad be jealous of Malcolm X? Because Malcolm X could run his mouth. So what? The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a lot of ministers who could preach very, very, very well. Many of those ministers, you don't know how well they preached because they didn't teach on the national radio broadcast and the white man didn't blow them up like Goodyear. So you don't know them. You think the only minister in the Nation of Islam that could rock a mic was Malcolm X. That's ridiculous. Malcolm X didn't build the Nation of Islam. You wouldn't have large, successful temples in cities all across the country simply based on the preaching of Malcolm X. No, the ministers of those cities could rock the mic. But you didn't know those ministers. The white man's press didn't promote those ministers. They didn't teach on the national radio broadcast, but in their cities, like the minister of Newark, he was known as the Son of Thunder, Minister James Shabazz. Well, he could rock a mic now, but you didn't know him the way that you knew Malcolm, because Malcolm was the out front man. Now, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not jealous of his ministers who could so-called out-preach him. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not chosen for his ability to preach. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was chosen for the material that he was made of. Master Farad Muhammad knew that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the quality of man that the Nation of Islam needed as a leader of it in his absence. Messenger Elijah Muhammad had the character. Messenger Elijah Muhammad had the substance. There was no man in the Nation of Islam that was a better choice to lead the Nation of Islam than the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That includes Malcolm, Khalid, Farrakhan, I don't care who you name it. Nobody had what Elijah Muhammad had in terms of character and substance. And so he was not jealous of Malcolm. Malcolm proved, we don't want to accept it, but Malcolm proved he was not the man. He left the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He had every opportunity to prove that he was the man that black people in America should follow. He couldn't get anything up off the ground because though his mouth ran superbly well, his leadership quality, it just wasn't there. Malcolm only took a few people with him out of the Nation of Islam. Most of them stayed with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And we know Malcolm didn't even last a year. As long as Malcolm was under the leadership of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the devil that wanted him dead was not able to touch a hair on his head. But within a year of him leaving the Nation of Islam, Malcolm was gone because he no longer had the divine protection of Master Farad Muhammad that comes from following the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He spit in the messenger's face. And by spitting in the messenger's face, he spit in the face of the God who protected the messenger and through the messenger protected himself. And so Malcolm ended up no longer being among us. It's a misconception that the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, somehow orchestrated the death of Malcolm X. Malcolm orchestrated his own death and said so from his own mouth.
Islam.
So that's the number one. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Brother Eric Muhammad, I would like to that point right there, right? I'd like to punctuate that point. There was an old former NOI member, elder out of Harlem, New York, that we used to converse with all the time on 125th Street. And, you know, we were young, half a hot shots at that time. You know, we were young. I'm talking decades ago. And, you know, we thought we knew what we knew. And he was listening to us, and he just said it. He said flat out, he said exactly what you just said. He said, listen, Minister Malcolm X committed suicide. And we were like, what? Is he crazy for saying that? Why would he say that? And then he just said one simple thing. He said, right across the street, right down the street from where we are right now on 125th Street in the 60s, Minister Malcolm was giving a speech, a public speech, and some of the FOI, some of them, as you know, were dressed in civilian clothes, right? Gave him the report that there was some European journalist that was talking crazy about the messenger. And the FOI were trained in that day. Anybody that talks that talks crazy about the messenger, you kill them. So, but he, in this case, he said, listen, don't kill him. Just take him up on top of Hotel Teresa and beat, you know, teach him a lesson. And that's what they did. And so this, the elder gentleman was telling us this. And then he says, Minister Malcolm used to train the FOI to do that. So if he trained the FOI to put hands on anybody that said anything crazy about the messenger, then he later says something crazy about the messenger. You know the rest of the story.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Wow.
Crazy.
I got a question. Yes, sir. Thought just came to me. Brother Eric Muhammad, can you speak to speaking of Malcolm X, can you speak to the letter and I believe an actual voice recording of Malcolm X, a letter to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asking to come back?
I heard about that.
I actually heard that letter being read.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I don't know of the authenticity or lack thereof of that letter, but it would not surprise me to find out that Malcolm wanted to return to the Nation of Islam. You know, when you're a little boy and daddy spank your behind, you get mad and take your little stick with your handkerchief and put a few of your things in the handkerchief and hang it over your shoulder and run away from home. Remember that song, brother, Runaway Child, Running Wild?
Right.
Malcolm was a runaway child running wild. Mm. It wouldn't surprise me if he decided that he better go back home where he belonged. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But do I individually, personally know of the authenticity of that letter? I can't attest to it, but I can't refute it either.
I have a question. Though. It's a bit of a haymaker. Does the Nation hold some kind of resentment towards Malcolm to this day? Or do they appreciate the brother for his contribution to the Nation, what he has done?
Well, you have Old Testament Malcolm X, and you have New Testament Malcolm X. Just as you have Old Testament Louis Farrakhan, and you have New Testament Louis Farrakhan. Old Testament Malcolm and Farrakhan are fine with us. If Old Testament Malcolm and Farrakhan are not fine with you, and you are a so-called follower of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then you are tending to lend credence to the charge against us that we somehow were jealous and resentful of them because of the positions they held. I don't have a problem with Old Testament minister Louis Farrakhan. I don't have a problem with Old Testament Malcolm X. I have several lectures of Old Testament Malcolm, a few of Old Testament Farrakhan, and I really, really love them. As long as both of them remained under the leadership of the messenger and represented without change that which was revealed to the messenger, you got to admit they were the bomb, both of them. But both of them, once they deviated from the messenger, those New Testament ministers, yes, we do have animosity towards New Testament Farrakhan, absolutely. We do have animosity towards New Testament Malcolm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's pretty deep.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had more time, man. I would like to get you back up here because there's so much I want to say and talk about, but I know we're under time constraint. Let's go into did we go to six? How does the Nation of Islam engage with issues of racial injustice, empowerment, and community development?
The very, very first step in dealing with the racial conflict that exists between blacks and whites here in the hills of North America is that we separate. The very first step is we must be qualified to rejoin on to our own kind. We got to get away from white folks and get back among our own people. And so this begins with the knowledge of self. And let me say this. When Wallace Dean Muhammad took over the Nation of Islam, he got rid of the books of the messenger. He got rid of the supreme wisdom lessons of the messenger. If I'm wrong, I will stand corrected, but I don't know of anyone besides the very, very few followers of the messenger. I don't know of anyone who stuck as true and as strong to the lessons as the 5% nation. Nobody was talking about the black man being God with as much fervor as the gods were saying. You know, the whole black man is God thing died. But fortunately, there was a group of young brothers that were teaching that the black man is God, that were reciting the lessons and keeping the lessons alive. And had it not been for that, who knows where we might be today? Bottom line is, the Nation of Islam has a teaching and a program, a teaching that leads us into the true knowledge of ourselves, not a knowledge that only takes us back 6,000 years, but takes us back beyond 6 trillion years. This is not the wisdom of prophets, as I said earlier. This is the wisdom of gods. We are learning what those who sent the prophets knew. That's what we study. We're studying the wisdom that those scientists who sent you Moses, who sent you Jesus, who sent you Prophet Muhammad, we study what they knew. And it's a wisdom that has an effect on us, unlike anything else that we've ever experienced. So we're taught the true knowledge of ourselves, and we're given a program of quote unquote community development, self-development. I say nation building. Mm-hmm. We're taught that. We're taught nationhood, mm-hmm. nationalism, independence, and that is what we strive towards. The messenger said it's more important to teach us separation than to teach us prayer. We're very, very nationalist when we are sticking to the messenger now. We're very, very nationalist in our scope. We are not trying to just be good Muslims in America. we are trying to get out from under the rule of America and under self-rule.
That sounds like nationality right there.
Say that again, sir.
It sounds like nationality, like that's guaranteed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We may see it differently than others, but yes, sir. Nationality. That's what it's all about. We need our own land with our own government, with all of our own systems of that government under our own flag to represent that government.
That's right. I see you. I respect that.
All right. Anyone else want to go in with the question?
The brothers slaying the east liquid swords.
It's just like it's just too easy for them.
They got the liquid swords, like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, what is the relationship between the Nation of Islam and other religious or political movements, both historical and in contemporary times?
We've always wanted the broadest unity among us as possible. Now, I have to stick with what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us in message to the black man. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, come. And he was talking to all of the leaders and movements of black America. He said, come. Let us reason together. But then he followed that up with, but first, you must have a thorough knowledge of yourself. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad also said to all the leaders of all of the movements, he said, listen, we have a program on the back page of our paper. If you any of you have a program better than that, I will come and bring all of my followers and join with you. But if you don't have a program better than the program that I offer, then come you and bring your followers and unite with me. The Black nationalist movement in America, both historically and at present, it's not very prevalent. Most leaders and most movements take a softer approach than separation, independence, and a nation of our own. We're really just trying to do the best we can in America, which leads to the death of us. One of the reasons, or the principal reason, I should say, that we need to separate from America is not because we're mad at the white man. I'm mad at you. I want to weave. It's a little more serious than that. The principal reason we need to leave the white man is because the man who found us and is giving us life, he had another reason why he came. And like I said earlier, it was to give the white man a little something, something that the white man has been afraid of getting all the days of his life. Master Farad Muhammad didn't just come to give life to the black man. Master Farad Muhammad came to literally and physically kill the white man, period. And this is why I don't care what anybody else teaches. I don't care what anybody else practices, even when I like it. Even when I like it, the reason I stick with the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is because he represents the one, the singular and exclusive man who can kill the white man, period. There is no other leader who has ever been among us who had the power to kill white people. There is no leader present among us today who has the power to kill white people. The messenger, when he was among us, did not have the power to kill white people. But his teacher, Master Farad Muhammad, does have the power to kill white people. Here's the problem with that. Kill the white man, you kill us too. Because we're in the way. So the scripture says, come out of her, my people, so you won't receive of her plagues. We got to get out of the way. We got to separate from the white man so that the God of the black man can kill the white man without us getting caught in the crossfire. Did I do any justice to that?
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Hey.
Praise be to Allah for the most honorable Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah, I hear that. That's real. Eric Muhammad.